the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Praise the living Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Let's all rise and upon our feet this morning as we give God the
glory. Glory to God.
As we give God the praise, the honor. Let's rise upon our feet.
Sing hallelujah. and you are highly lifted up, awesome God, and you are highly lifted up, mighty God, and you are highly lifted up, awesome God, and you are highly lifted up, mighty God.
Just lift up your hands as we worship Him. Our God is awesome. How great you are, God. Mighty are your miracles. We love you, Jesus. Reference God with your worship this morning. Hallelujah.
Your majesty,
awesome God,
awesome.
an awesome God, how great thou. And you are God, mighty are your miracles, stand in awe of your holy name. Lord, we bow and worship you.
Awesome God, how great thou art. You are God, mighty are your miracles. We stand in awe of your holy name. Lord, we bow and we worship you. Awesome God, how great thou art. You are God, mighty are your miracles. We stand in awe, oh Lord, of your holy name. Lord, we bow and we worship you. Lord, we bow and we worship you. Father, we give you praise. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ, Lord. For he alone is worthy.
Lord, we bless your holy name. We thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you, Lord, for your awesome power. We thank you, Lord, for your glory revealed in our lives. Blessed be your holy name forever, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus. We pray. Oh, come all ye faithful. Let's sing that. It's not Christmas. But oh, come all ye faithful. Lord, to be praised, worthy to be magnified. And this morning, we join the saints above and the saints in all the nations of the earth to say, thank you for your loving kindness and your tender mercies. Thank you for peace. Thank you, Lord, for grace. Thank you, Lord, for forgiveness of sins. Thank you for the work of redemption, for deliverance, for salvation, for prosperity, for divine health. Thank you, Lord, for peace and joy that passes all understanding. Thank you for your protection. Thank you, Father, for your provision. Thank you, faithful God. Faithful God, so unchanging, ageless one, you're my rock of peace, Lord of all, I depend on you.
I come out to you
again and again. I call out to you.
of trouble. You lift me up when I fall down.
And all through the storm, your love
is the anchor.
My hope is within you alone.
You are my times of trouble. You lift me up when I fall down. All through the storm, your love is the anchor.
My hope is in you.
My hope is in you alone. Oh, my hope is in you alone. My hope is in you
alone.
Yes, my hope. You guys know this song, All Power Belongs to Jesus. Sing it. All power belongs to Jesus. All power belongs to God. All power belongs to Jesus. All power belongs to God.
All power belongs to Jesus.
Up Jesus, down, down Satan. Up, up Jesus.
Unto Jesus.
Blessed be the name of the living God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. God is good. Amen. We celebrate the goodness of God. Thank you, worship team. That was wonderful. Hallelujah. Amen. Sister Toyin, don't go too far. You may be seated. Stay there. We celebrate the goodness of God. We're thankful for the life that God has given to us. Brother Kingsley. Was this planned? Everybody dressed in black or something? That was the color for today? Oh. Hallelujah. Well, we celebrate the goodness of God and the life He's given to us. But now and then, somebody that we love steps away from this realm. And Mama and Sister Tonye lost. Somebody dear to them stepped from this realm to a greater realm. Mama Junior sister stepped from this realm 2 days ago and is present in the presence of God. We'll share her testimony at the right time with her own words, what she saw. And I heard yesterday that on the same day, that Sister Twin's father stepped to the other realm too. We just want to speak the blessing of God over them. The God who says to us that He will give to us the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit will be our comforter. Said so because He knew we will need comfort. The God who said that we'll need the Holy Spirit to be our helper was very certain that we're going to need help. The one who said the Holy Spirit was going to be the one who walks alongside of us, the Paraclete, knew we're going to need somebody to walk alongside of us. And today we just want to ask that the Holy Spirit would be all things to Mama and to Sister Tonya and Bra Kingsley and their family. So if you don't mind, just rise with me for a moment. Let's stretch our hands towards Mama and
Sister Toy, and just say, Holy Spirit, do your work in their lives. Be peace to them. Be comforter to them. Be strength to them. Be joy to them. Help them through this experience. Be present with them. In the mighty name of Jesus, Holy Spirit, let your full work be manifest in the life of Pastor Maria and Sister Toye and their family. In Jesus' mighty name, we declare it so done. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. God bless you. Bless you. Bless you.
Praise God.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
It is well with us. Say amen.
Amen.
The loss is when you don't know Jesus. But when you have Jesus, it's a promotion. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Promoted away from troubles, problems, sickness, disease, sorrows, and the cares of this world. We'll surely miss our loved ones, but it is well with us.
Amen.
Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So if your family members don't know Jesus, you need to pray for them and talk to them about Jesus. Somebody say, I will do so.
I will do so.
Somebody say, I will do so.
I will do so.
At one time, my family did not, they knew God, but they were religious. And when the Holy Spirit came, I was the first one that the Holy Spirit touched in my family. And I started preaching to every one of them. And they all thought, I've lost my marbles. But I prayed with them. We come from a culture you don't talk to elders. Elders talk to you. But it didn't matter. Talk to the elders about Jesus. I'll say every single member of my family are born again.
Amen.
They are not just born again. They are filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Like strong believers. To God be the glory.
Amen.
Nephews, nieces, didn't matter what part they are in the world, they are all over the world. They are filled with the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
I'll tell you, if you start that work, it shall come to pass. Your family shall be saved.
Amen.
All of them, not
Amen.
One left behind.
Amen.
Me and my household, we shall be saved.
Amen.
Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So God will do whatever it takes to capture all of them. May your family never be lost.
Amen.
So my sister is not lost. She's in glory. She saw glory before she went into glory.
Amen.
Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I told her if you want to be with Jesus, you can. That was on Friday. God gave opportunity for us to say goodbye. Normally we call at certain time, specific time, every day since we left. We left about a week ago, and every specific time I will call. And as I make that call, I just say, the Holy Spirit said, call 1 hour early. So I called 1 hour early. At the time I called, they said she was just taking her last breath. So I said, put the phone in her ear and let me pray for her. And I prayed. I said, is she still there? They said, she's still there. So I said, please leave the phone. Let me call my husband so he can pray, because she also loves Bishop and would like to hear him. So I called him. I said, call now. Whatever you're doing, drop it and just make a quick call. And as soon as he finished saying the name of Jesus, she took her last breath. So we give God praise for the privilege that we were there. To God be the glory.
Amen.
She's a testimony to her to the hospital. They expected her to be gone the week before we came, Friday before we came. We saw you on Sunday. We spoke to you guys on Sunday. The doctor already said 1 hour, short day. We just say it is well with her. 1 hour short day went a little bit over 1 hour short day. So we give God glory. Your life is in the hands of God. Mm. That's what we told them. The man upstairs is the only one that holds your life. When he's ready for you, he'll call you. So please be ready, brothers and sisters. Make sure your heart is always ready for the Lord. Amen. You can live till you are satisfied. I know how long I want to live long, so I've been declaring mine, not today. I've always declared 120 plus, still vibrant and strong.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Not miserable. You need to begin to speak life to your own self now.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
Say amen.
Amen.
You shall have what you say. So I speak life over myself.
Amen.
Death has come to me so many times, but death cannot swallow me.
Amen.
Death cannot swallow you.
Amen.
But if you're satisfied, you can go home any day.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Home is sweet home. Is your home not sweet? Everybody loves their home. Praise the Lord. All right, it's that time we're going to pray and talk to our Father together. Praise the Lord. Rise with me. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for another wonderful day you have given to us. We are privileged people. We thank you, God, for touching our lives, saving us. That nothing in this world can separate us from your love. Neither death nor life, not even angels, not principalities. That is your word to us. Father, we thank you that you are with us always.
Mm.
You were with us when we slept last night. We woke up this morning and you're with us right now. We commit our lives before you, Lord. Every member of our family,
yes.
Biological, spiritual, extended families, children of the Most High God that are here. Your word calls us your little children. We commit all our lives before you, Lord. There are family members that are not saved. Father, save them. Save every one of them.
Hallelujah.
May they be authentically saved. May they not just be religious people, but may they have a personal relationship with our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In the mighty name of Jesus. Washed by your blood, washed by your word, filled with your Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, may they hear your voice and always come at your call. May they choose you above all. In the name of Jesus, Father, we give you praise. We give you praise for what you are doing in our midst. We thank you for our entire household, the household of faith. Father, remember your people. Strengthen them. Strengthen my family. Strengthen Sister Tony's family. Strengthen all those who have their loved ones have moved up. Father, touch them. Comfort them. Let them know this is a temporary separation. A day of coming together is coming again. On the resurrection morning, we shall meet with our loved ones. We shall celebrate together the King of Glory. Father, we give you praise. We give you praise. Let none be left behind, but let all be gathered unto you. In the name of Jesus, strengthen the physical, spiritual, and emotional body of your people, Lord. Draw them to you, Lord.
Yes,
that it's time to look up. Say your word say we should look up for our redemption, draw nigh. We should look up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. We should commit our lives to you, spirit, soul, and body, to love you with everything within us, Father. We thank you that is what is happening.
Amen.
Touch every family.
Yes.
Whatever they are going through, touch them, Lord.
Yes,
may they look to you as the answer.
Yes.
Jesus, you are the answer. You're the solution. There is nothing you cannot do. Your hand is not short. You can touch us wherever we are. So, Father, save every family member. In the name of Jesus, provide for them. Touch them, Lord. Bring them peace. You are the Prince of Peace. Visit their homes. Visit their lives. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for your power. Truly, yours is the power. Yours is the kingdom. Yours is the power. Yours is the glory. Not sometime, forever and ever. So it is well with us. Can you all say it is well with me and my household? We are in Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, we now pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Peace within her walls and her palaces. Prosperity to her palaces. All that is going on in that area of the world right now, Jesus, you are still Lord. You are still in control. Man can control some things, but ultimate control comes from you. Father, you are drawing souls to you now. You are saving so many people. So many people are getting saved in this season. Draw your people to yourself. In the mighty name of Jesus, you are appearing to them. You are showing them you are the Savior, that you died for them and you love them, and you have redeemed them with your own blood. Father, draw your people to yourself. In the name of Jesus, Father, we thank you, God, for the peace of Jerusalem, peace over Israel. All nations at this time, may they turn their eyes to you. May they know that their arm of flesh will always fail them, but the hand of God will never fail. May they draw to you, O God. Draw Israel to you, Lord. Draw Canada to you. Draw United States of America to you. Draw Nigeria to you. Draw Portugal to you. Draw Spain to you. Draw Italy to you. Draw the islands of the seas to you. Draw the nations in the Middle East to you, Lord. They are the seeds of Abraham. Draw both Ishmael and Isaac to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, draw Jacob and Esau to you, Lord. Draw them to you, Lord. They come back home to the Redeemer, to the living God, and be saved. Draw your people, Lord. All nations, draw them to you, Lord. Begin to let them come to you, Lord. Except you visit them, they will never know you. Except the blindness leave them, they will never see you. Except the deafness leave them, they will never hear you. Father, save your people. Give us the hidden for our inheritance. Give us the hidden for our inheritance. Draw the people of Pakistan to you. Draw the people of Afghanistan to you. Draw the people of India to you. Draw the people, God, in all every area, even the Iranians, draw them to you. Draw all your people to you. In the mighty name of Jesus, remove wicked, evil leaders. Remove them from the land. Remove them from the people. So that put righteous leaders so that the people will rejoice. When the wicked reign, the people are sad. But when the righteous rule, the people rejoice. Yes. Righteousness exalts a nation, and sin is the reproach. Father, save your people. Righteous God and holy God, draw your people through your righteousness. Establish righteous leaders. Put the circle of righteous people around the key leaders. They will not advise them to do evil. They will not listen to the counsel of Ahithophel, but they will listen to the counsel of God. In the mighty name of Jesus, put prophetic people that know God around them, that they will be praying for them, and then the nations begin to pray for their nation. Save your divine, save our nations, save your people. In the mighty name of Jesus, we speak peace around every one of us. Peace to our home, our cities, peace to every hamlet, our workplaces, our churches, and Lord, bring revival to the churches. Lukewarmness, let it leave the churches. Let there be fire in the churches. Fire of the Holy Ghost. Fire and power. Let it begin to reign in the churches. Revive us again. Revive us, O God. Let your word go forth and do that which it needs to be done. Let the sent word begin to go forth. In the mighty name of Jesus, bring your people to themselves. In the mighty name of Jesus, let corruption leave your people. Let holiness be established. Let the joy of the Lord be established. Let the goodness of the Lord be established. In the mighty name of Jesus, let your favor surround us like a shield. We pray healing over your people. Those that are sick, be healed, be restored, be made whole. In the name of Jesus, those that are fearful, courage to them. Courage to their heart. Courage to their heart. Let their heart be fixed on you, knowing that you are able to do that which they expect. And more than that, you are more than enough. Somebody say, God, you are more than enough for me and my household. In Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Let your word come today with power, grace, favor, mercy, truth, healing, deliverance, and let your Holy Spirit, Spirit of the living God, take full control. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. God bless you, Apostle.
Why is God reinforcing that statement? Because sometimes doing the right thing is not easy. You have to have a commitment to know what the right thing is and be faithfully doing it. Because there are enough forces that want you to not do the right thing. There are enough forces that may allow you to do the right thing for a short season and give up. But God rewards those who diligently seek Him. God rewards consistency, continuity. If you continue in my word, then you are my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Praise the Lord. I want to thank God, firstly, for everyone here. There's no one here that is here by accident. You're here by God's design. God willed it for you to be here. But even though God willed it for you to be here, you needed to be obedient, because God can will certain things, and you can discount what God has willed by choice. God will never, until you cross over from this earth realm, go against your will. Let me say that again. God will never go against your will in this earth realm. As long as you're in this body, you have 100% capacity and ability to resist God. And I say, well, because it's given to you free will. But when you cross from here, over there, it doesn't matter what you want anymore. It's 100% His will. That makes sense? Yeah. His will. As soon as you cross, His will. But as long as you're here, the earth has it given to the sons of men. It takes a man's will in agreement with God to resist another man's will who is against God. I think I said something so heavy, but it's so light at the same time. In this earth realm, please hear what I'm saying to you now. It's extremely important. In this earth realm, whoever believes more and is more committed
to the one that they are serving trumps. So a devil worshiper who is committed more to worshiping the devil than you, Christian, who is not committed to worshiping God in spirit and in truth, that devil worshiper will use you to wipe the floor. Because his will is being backed up. Are we together? That's how believers get smacked. It's your commitment level. Are you sold out to God? That's the difference. Please hear what I just said. Please understand. Don't just hear it. Understand what I just said. If you want to be more than a conqueror, you got to be sold out to God. You got to be sold out to God. So you cannot be wimpish with your faith walk. Because if you are wimpish with it, you will become a wimp. Trampled underfoot. That's why the enemies of Israel were able to overcome Israel, even though God was with Israel. They were defeated so many times, even in fact taken into exile so many times. But those that were committed to God and sold out to God, like Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, and Daniel, thrived while they were in exile. Capish? So, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm saying, let's get sold out to God. That's what I'm saying. Simple. Be sold out to God for your own good. Hallelujah. Or that devilish, demon-possessed boss will run you out of that office. Or you stand with God and you're committed to God, and when that demon-possessed boss sees you, he will walk in a different direction. Say, I'm not, he's here again. Take your place. Hello? Take your place. Not in your might or strength, but in your surrender to God. For one with God is what?
Majority.
Just you with God. You majority, and the majority always wins. Hallelujah. Say, I'm part of the majority. I might just be one person, but I got God on my side. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. And say, Pastor, is that the message? It's part of it. Come with me to the book. Now, let me say this. This message this morning is going to have a twist. It's going to go off on a tangent. So when I go off on that tangent, come with me through that tangent. Amen? Praise God. 1 Chronicles 21 and verse 1. The word of God says here, and Satan stood up against Israel, and provoked David to number Israel. Satan stood up against Israel and provoked David to number Israel.
David takes a census of his military force to find out what kind of resources he had to be able to deal with the battles of life and the challenges that he had. The Bible tells us that his lieutenant Joab, that he assigned this assignment to, challenged his statement, said, "Boss, I don't know if we should be doing this. I think this might be a mistake." But David insisted, "I want you to go out there, count everybody." So he went and he counted. But the Bible tells us that as he counted, he left out two families. The family of Levi, which is the family of the priests, and Benjamin as the brother of Joseph. He left out those two tribes. He didn't count those. But he came back and gave his report and said, "This is what happened." The Bible says, "But Levi and Benjamin counted he not among them, for the king's word was abominable to Joab." Joab was doing this reluctantly. He says, "And God was displeased with this thing. Therefore, he smote Israel." David, the king of Israel, is used by the devil to come against the people of God by counting them. What is the problem here? The problem is the man who had faith and was used by God to take down Goliath, as big as Goliath was, and was saying, "I am going to not just take you down, Goliath, I'm going to take you, all of the Philistines, out today, because God is with me." That same one, for whatever reason, has come to the place where he is more committed to counting what he has on hand to make the decisions that he needs to make. Is God against numbers? Obviously not. Because we have a whole book called the Book of Numbers. One of the instructions God gave to us at very early beginnings of our time of pastoring was this simple instruction: don't you ever count the people. I'm so glad that he gave me that instruction, because if I was counting the people, I wouldn't have done anything, because I would have been looking at the people, looking at the finances, looking at whatever resources we had on hand before making any decision to do anything, and that would have meant doing nothing. God does not want you to build your faith based on what you have on hand. "I have this, therefore I will do this." Now, I'm going to go to another part of this comment to bring you to a place where the Lord Jesus Christ is addressing the same situation, but it looks like he's addressing it from the flip side. Only if you are not studying the word, you'll lose the point. God wants you to rely on him at all times, no matter what the situation is. Trust me, believe in me, I with you will
win. Amen? I will use you as my weapon of preference, and I'll cut down every enemy. There was a man who stood in a barley field. The rest of David's men were gone, and there he was by himself. And here comes the Philistines. The Philistines come and they want to take that barley field. And he stood there by himself and said, not as long as I'm standing here, you're not taking nothing here. It wasn't like it was a very big farm. It wasn't very big, but it didn't matter whether it was big or small. You're not taking anything here. They kept on coming and he kept on killing them. And he's there all day until the Bible says his hand got so attached to the sword that they couldn't, it was very difficult to pry his hand off the sword after he'd finished. In essence, his hand and the sword had become one. God wants you and I to be so one in our assignment in him, in saying no to the devil and all his courts, and saying, it doesn't matter whether it's just me. As long as I'm here, you're not taking anything from here. You're not taking my family. You're not taking my finances. You're not taking my relationships. You're not taking nothing. This belongs to God and to me. And I am here, assigned by God, to protect this. You're not taking nothing from here. That is the passion and the drive that you and I must have. Not in counting whatever it is that we think we have and thinking that's what's going to save us. A man's life is not made up of the things that he has gathered. Too many decisions that you and I must and should have made in faith have been aborted because we have looked at what we had at hand, not at the bigness of God. They said, when Jesus asked, while ministering to the thousands of people, he said, how much food do we have? How much bread do we have to take care of this? Now, come on. That's the silliest question to ask, because who carries that much bread around? We say, we don't have anything. We don't have even enough money. Say, what do you have? So we've got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Some little kid, you know, we saw it with a little kid. You know, we're so hungry, we saw what the kid had. And we counted it. It said 5 and 2 fishes. We're so hungry too, boss. And the kid willing to give it? How we can ask? So we went to the little kid. Hello, young man. Would you like to give Jesus your 5 loaves and your 2 fishes? Yes, yes. Oh, it's such an honor for me to give all of my food to Jesus. Handed it over. Jesus gives thanks, breaks it, tells the disciples to sit everybody down in groups of 50s, representing Jubilee, representing debt freedom, representing freedom from lack. He gives it to them, and they went from one person to the other, one group to the other, and fed all of these people. And there were fragments left, and they collected 12 baskets. So he ended up with more than he started with. Why? Because he gave thanks. He was not looking at what he had and deciding that this is what is going to solve this problem. He knew that whatever it is that he had was going to solve the problem as long as he was in agreement with the Father. Hello? I don't know how many times I've gone to the traveled and in my pocket was like zero. And I'm going. And by the time I get to where I'm going, God had taken care of everything. I say, thank you, Lord. Your grace is sufficient. I did not go because I knew I had what I had. I went because I was sent. And I know that you are well able to meet every need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Satan will always come and stand against God's people, and he will use somebody to speak that which is contrary to the will of God. That's when you and I need to stand and say, O King, I might die for this because I am going to say something and it's not going to be right in your sight. But what I'm going to say is going to be right in the sight of God. Boss, I am not counting anybody because this is not going to be good. I am not going to move in unbelief because this is not going to be good. What you are asking me to do is going to cause us bigger problems. Guess who died? It was the Israelites. It's not David. David didn't die. It's always the innocent that dies because of the foolish actions of somebody. The innocent die. Just like the little children of Bethlehem died because of the so-called wise men. The innocent are always fallen. And you and I need to take a stand in life and say, you know what? Because of me, innocent people are not going to perish. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Who is going through issues because of my actions? Do you know that because of what you and I do, our children can be affected? Bible talks about iniquities that continue for generations. Well, whatever it is I'm doing, it's not going to hurt anybody. So you think, eh? Until something goes off. Anyway, thousands of people are dying. In fact, God speaks to David. Says he sends a prophet Gad to him and says, "You got three things, three choices. Choice number one, three years of famine." Choice number two, 3 months where your enemies overcome you. You're overtaken by your enemies. And choice number three, 3 days. Of pestilence. And David cries out to God, God, I'd rather fall before you rather than man, because man will not know when to stop. They will kill you and kill you again. I will kill you dead and dead, dead. They will know when to stop. So I trust in your mercies. So God says, okay. So an angel comes and 70,000. It's just wiping them off. And God says, hold it, angel. It's enough. At this speed, there's not going to be anybody left. Hold it. And God opens David's eyes, and he sees this angel hanging between earth and the heavens. It's this huge angel, and his sword is all over Jerusalem. And he cries out, what should I do? How can I stop this plague? And God says to him, through the prophet, go to the threshold and set up an altar so that this plague ceases. Bible says in verse 18, then the angel of the Lord commanded God to say to David that David should go up and set up an altar unto the Lord in the threshing floor of Onan, the Jebusite. And David went up at the saying of God, which spake in the name of the Lord. And Onan turned back and saw the angel. So Onan himself also saw the angel and with his four sons, and they hid themselves at that threshing floor. But he sees David coming, and he comes out to meet David. And what do you need? I need to set up an altar. I need to sacrifice to God. I need a piece of land to build this altar. And Onan says, no problem. I give it to you. I give it. Yeah, take it. I'll give you the animals to sacrifice. And David says, no. That's not what we're going to do. He says, I will not take that which is thine for the Lord, nor offer burnt offerings without cost. This same passage is restated in 2 Samuel 24 and verse 24. 2 Samuel 24 and 24, and the whole chapter is addressing the same issue. David says in 2 Samuel chapter 24 and verse 24, he says, I will not offer. He says, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price, neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David brought the threshing floor, bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver, and then he sacrificed to God. And through that sacrifice to God, the plague stopped. He reversed the loss and the cost of his action by an offering that he brought to God. Now, I told you I was going to go off on a tangent. This is a tangent. We've talked about the trusting of our resources and how that affects everything. Now, the Word of God tells us something. In Luke 14, we'll take it off from verse 25. Luke 14, 25. He says, and there went great multitudes with him. And he turned and said unto them, this is Jesus, great multitudes are following him, and he turns around and he says to them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. In other words, if you don't prefer me, that's what the hate word means there. If you do not prefer me above everything else, you cannot be my disciple. And whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. You have to prefer me above all. You have to take up the cross and follow me to be my disciple. Verse 28. This is the tangent now. For which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counted the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Wait a minute. I thought we're not supposed to count. Well, just come alongside. You'll understand. We don't want to count and make decisions based on our counting as it relates to the things of God. But now the Lord is going to make a statement. And I need you to listen, and grasp. Because this is going to be very heavy now. This is not milk. This is now, we're going to the meat zone with bones in it. You ready? You sure you're ready? Okay. It says, who doesn't sit down when you know you're going to build a tower and make certain that you have enough to finish that tower? Less happily after he had laid the foundation, you only have enough to lay the foundation and he's not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Remember, the context is the context of you taking up the cross and following me. The context is a context of you preferring me above all. So the Lord is simply saying, and remember, the multitudes were following him. And he says to them, I don't need no multitude. I need commitment. And I want you to know what commitment is going to cost. You need to count the cost now before you follow. You going to follow me? There's a cost to it. Because if you get started and you do not finish, people are going to mock. I thought you said you were a Christian. Some little problem just face you. You're just flat like a tortoise. Look at you. Say I thought you were. You're all for Jesus. All for Jesus. And look at you. Jesus says, listen up. You're going to follow me. You're going to face stuff. You're going to have challenges. You're going to have people that are going to go against you. But you, if you're going to follow me, follow me. Know that you're going to take up a cross. If you're going to follow me, to be my disciple. When you carried a cross, it was because you knew you were going to die on it. Being a Christian is not eating cheesecake. Anybody that tells you that being a Christian means that everything is going to be rosy, maybe that's not the best illustration because roses have thorns. You want to fully follow Christ, you're going to face stuff. And says, check it out. It says, "And oh, what king going to make war against another king? Sitteth not down first and consulted whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sent an ambassage and desired conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." You want to be a disciple? You got to forsake everything. You got to be committed. You cannot just go for convenience. These are not my words. These are the words of the Lord. Salt is good, he says. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be seasoned? It's neither fit for the land, nor yet for the dunghill. But men cast it out. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear. Message to us, so that you don't get lost here. He's telling you it's hard. But at the same time, he's telling you there is a cause for not following. If you think that you've been persecuted because you're a believer, watch out. If you say you're a believer and you are not the real deal, you'll be trampled under. Your place of safety is in your commitment to God. Stand for something. Believe something. Follow through. Well, if it's so hard, maybe I really, you know, Jesus said we should think it through, right? Yes. So I'm going to sit down and think it through whether I should follow Jesus. And my counsel to you will be this. What shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? You see, anything in this world is temporal. Today we're talking about my dear sister in love that has gone home to be with the Lord. We talked about our sister Toyin, whose dad stepped on also. You know what? There's nothing that they had that they took with them. But he stepped into an eternity that will be an eternity for eternity. And meanwhile, they've lived what? 60, 80, 100? Even if you lived for 200 years or 1,000 years, it's nowhere compared to eternity. So what's the decision? Temporal pleasure and eternal damnation? Or let me get all the rebuke, chastisement, the challenges, whatever it is, and when I step from here, I step away from all of that. Everything is temporary. In this natural realm, it's all temporary. So what shall it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Matthew 16:26. Think about it. For what is a man profited? If he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul, or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Mark chapter 8 and verse 36. This statement is restated. For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? It is restated again in Luke chapter 9 and verse 25. Luke 9 and 25. For what is a man advantaged? What's the advantage to a man if he gains the whole world and lose himself or be cast away? Jesus, our Lord, said, you are to take up the cross and follow him. Follow me. In John, the Gospel of John, chapter 15 and verse 9, talking about continuing, he says, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. God loves me, and the same love that God has for me, I have extended to you. Continue in my love. Don't let that fall apart. It continues on. Verse 10. He says, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. This is how you abide in my love. You keep my commandments. No, we're not supposed to keep any commandment. We're saved by grace. Hallelujah. No, the Lord said, in some of your Bibles, it will be all in red. If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. If you want to continue my love, it is by you keeping my commandments, even as I've kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. In essence, Jesus says, the way that I have abided in the love of the Father is because I am obeying the command. I'm following through. You think you're going to go through with a less level? But Lord, how am I going to be able to keep this command? And what commands are you talking about? The command, simple, is this: love God, love your neighbor as yourself. In essence, love God, love neighbors, love yourself. Love God, love you, love them. It's one command. And that one command covers, has different tentacles, but he walks you through all of those. But the commandment of God is a commandment of love. Abide in love. When you love God, you obey him. When you love God, you keep his words. In fact, he will tell us in John chapter 8 and verse 30, verse 30, 31, 32, right, verse 31. It's, okay, let's take it from verse 30. John 8, 30. As he spake these words, many believed on him. What did they do? They believed on him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed. Then are ye my disciples indeed. If you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The power of continuity. You've got to continue. Because when we do not continue, we have Satan standing by us and telling us to do stuff that God has commissioned us not to do. That makes sense? You've got to continue in God's word. Your father cannot do it for you. Your mother cannot do it for you. Your brothers can't do it for you. Your sisters cannot do it for you. Your husband or your wife or your children cannot do it for you. You got to do it yourself. You got to make the decision to continue. And if somebody else doesn't want to continue, that's their business. Because you are an individual before God. Hello? What other people think does not matter when it comes to you and God. Well, they are not towing their part, so I guess if they are relaxing, I will relax too. That's how you end up in the wrong place. You don't measure what other people do in terms of their relationship with God. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ tells a story of two brothers and their father. The father says to one of them, I need you to go into the field and take care of stuff for me. And says, sure, I'll do it. He says, he says to the first one, I want you to go to the field and do stuff for me. And that one says, no, I don't have time for that. Come on. No, I'm not doing it. I got other things to do. Get somebody else to do it. So he goes to the other brother and says, I need you to go into the field and do this for me. That one says, yes, sir, I'm going to do it. I'll do it. The older one who said no comes back and he does it. And Jesus asked the question, who did the will of his father? He said, the older one that said no first. You don't know, while you are busy following people, when they will flip and change, and you're following them, and you end up, you don't follow nobody that is going in a different direction from the direction that the Lord is going. Well, everybody, you know, my kids used to say that, everybody is doing this. I said, well, are you doing it? They said, no, then everybody isn't doing it. Then everybody is not doing it. So don't get started. We live in a world where people are just following foolishness. Well, I'm going to go to that church, you know. Why do you want to go to that church? Because you can dress whichever way you want to. You want to wear a mini skirt and go to church? You can do that. You want to wear a low-cut blouse? You can do that. You want to wear skinnies? You can do that. You want to wear whatever, you know, color everything any which way you want? You can do that. You want to come whenever you want to come? You can do that. Nobody's judging anybody. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, follow. Just follow. And you'll find out while you're there that everything is falling apart. When you are in crisis, there's nobody there that is spiritual to pray, stand with you, because you're all in the same boat, all messed up. Nobody that you can count on that can stand and say, in the name of Jesus. Because if they dare say, in the name of Jesus, the devil will say, Jesus, I know. Who art thou? Pow! Message me. You think it's just mouth? Jesus. Don't judge me. But once upon a time, I was watching, I'm not suggesting that you should do that because people get all messed up with stuff like this. This is a Dracula movie. And this is like, got to be about 30, 40 years back. And here comes this guy with a cross because he believed that the cross was going to save him and, you know, get Dracula to back off. So he holds this cross, and the Dracula came and grabbed the cross and says, "You got to believe in it." I said, "Thank you, Lord, that I saw this." Well, you can't just be going around, you know, this, that, and so on and so forth when you don't have a relationship with God. Well, this is how this person, you go get the prayer book. Get the prayer book. That's good. Get the prayer book, but don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ and expect whatever it is that you prayed to work. And when it doesn't work, you say, "It doesn't work." Well, it works for those people who believe. You have to walk in faith, trusting in God, surrender to God, following God, not following people who do not know their right from their left, don't know what anything is about. I don't know how many churches have been started because some guy, you know, thinks I can preach a sermon, but you don't have a true connection with God. You think I was on my knees and I prayed. Does it? No, it is not just yapping away. How much of that time did you spend listening to God to hear from God? Because if you're not hearing from God, you're going to hear from the devil. And if you do not have a relationship with God, how do you know that when you hear something, it is not God or God? Hear the word of the Lord in the Gospel of John, the 10th chapter. In the 10th chapter of the Gospel of John, John says, the Lord says that he is the good shepherd. He is the good shepherd. And anyone that comes to him comes the right way. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, the door being Jesus himself, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. When the centrality of who Jesus is not the message, the core message that we are connecting people to, and it's about positive thinking and 10 ways to make more money and 5 ways to have a happy home and 20 ways of building a business, and it's all about worldly stuff with a sprinkle of Jesus, you got a problem. We don't need a sprinkle of Jesus. We want the whole thing. It's either Jesus or none. He said, anybody who's bringing that, that's a thief and a robber. I don't care how successful you are. If you gain the whole world and lose your soul, you are forever lost. He says, and he that entered in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. In other words, he takes you from the place of limitation to a place of supernatural abundance. He says, and when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, he leads them. He goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Do you and I know the voice of the living God? Do you know the voice of God yourself? Before I gave my life to the Lord, I lived a very messed up life, not because my parents were, my dad was not a believer. Well, it's qualified at that time. Anyway, I was out in school, in the boarding house, and living a very messed up, ungodly life. And I figured that if the people I was messing around with found out what I was doing, I'll be done. So, those days we used to have a class called Bible Knowledge. So everybody had a Bible. So I had this Bible. And I was going to use my Bible as a talisman to protect me. So I'll put the Bible underneath my pillow. And I will say a prayer like this. Oh God, I'm a Christian because my father is a Christian. Protect me from the evil that people may be planning against me. Amen. So one day I made a mistake. The mistake was that I decided to open that Bible. So I flipped the Bible open, you know, and did one of these numbers. And it opened to the book of Ezekiel, chapter 18 and verse 4. And Ezekiel 18 verse 4 was God directly addressing my nonsense prayer. He says, "Behold, all souls are mine. As the soul of the Father, so also the soul of the Son is mine. The soul that sinneth, it shall die." I closed the Bible and I threw it away. But that's my protection. Second day, I did that same number. It opened to the same page. Third day, fourth day, fifth day, tenth day, 20th day. So I grabbed somebody else's Bible. And I did that same number. Same thing. Hi. What is going on? God was simply saying, I don't have grandsons. You have a personal relationship with me. All souls are mine, but if you're going to live in sin, you're going to die. You're going to be lost forever. He was coming after me to make me know that he needed a commitment and a relationship from me that was not based on somebody else's experience. What is your relationship? Are you sold out to me? Will you continue in my word? So one day, I did it again. I looked down, you know, and that Bible, there was a picture of a tree on the page. I looked down, no picture of any tree, but this time it was in the book of Romans. And it says, the wages of sin is death. Ah, close that Bible. Come on. So when I got home from school, and the pastor was talking to me, and he said to me, your father is a Christian. And so am I. One of these days, Jesus is going to come back and we'll be caught up to meet with him in the air. What are you going to do? This is after he exposed me. He was telling me about my life and the messed up life. I was living some 200 miles away. How the guy knew, I don't know. Other than God was speaking to him about me. And that day, even though I was so upset and angry and I wanted to punch his lights out in church, the whole part, no, you didn't do one. Yeah. That's how messed up I was. Ready to punch a pastor in church because he was revealing my secrets. Then he said, "You're my junior brother. Why are you acting like this?" Oh, that did it. I was going to punch him now. But I thought for a moment, I don't want my father to be gone and me not gone. I love my father. So I said, "Oh God, forgive my sins." I didn't tell the pastor. I was still upset with him. And God accepted that prayer. And it was like a weight was lifted off of me. It was very literal. It was like a thorn of bricks came off of me. And that's how I got saved. July the 24th of 1974. And from that point on, my relationship has been about following him. Has it been easy? It depends on how you define easy. Oh yeah, there's been attacks from every direction. But I'd rather have this life than whatever the devil was offering. Amen? If I had followed the devil, I don't think I would be alive till now. With that lifestyle I was living, I'll be long dead. But praise God, because I follow him. When the angel of death came by trying to get me, I said to the angel of death, "I'm not afraid of you." And it came closer. I said, "In the name of Jesus." And the ground opened up, and there goes the angel of death, and I was laughing. Praise the Lord. And the Lord said to me, he said, "It's time to dance." And from that bed in the hospital, I swung my feet across and I started to dance the African dance. "In your face, devil. Think who you gonna mess with?" Hallelujah. God is altogether good. Follow him. Amen. Don't count the cost and then follow. Count the cost and then follow. So I've not sugarcoated anything. I just told you exactly the way it is. But he said, when you're with him, he says his yoke is easy and his burden is light. Guess why? Because he carries it all. He carries it all. He will help you live life to the full. Amen? Praise the Lord. I hope you heard the word of the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's just give him thanks. Is there anyone here today saying, "You know, Pastor, I've heard the word of the Lord. And I'm making a commitment to follow him. I'm going to follow him all the days of my life. I don't know what challenges I'm going to face down the road. But whatever those challenges are, I know that he's my helper. And I'll come through on the other side. I am not going to be held back or held down by any activities of the enemy. I give my all to him." Because that's what God is asking. He's asking for all of you, not part of you. All of you. Amen? That's why it's called a living sacrifice. Hallelujah. Praise God. How many of you glad that you heard the real authentic stuff, not some sprinkled Jesus stuff. Hallelujah. So take a hold of the word of God and be a manifestation of who he is. If you find yourself tripping, get back up and follow. Just continue. Amen? Hallelujah. Anyone want to rededicate their lives to the Lord, or maybe you want to give your life to the Lord for the first time? You know, you just want me to pray with you? Just wave and I'll do so. If you've already made that commitment to continue, praise God. Hallelujah. And this word this morning from the Lord to us is just a word to encourage us to know why we are in faith and why we're walking with him. Anyone? Just raise your hand. Okay. I see a hand over there. God bless you. Hallelujah. Praise God. Okay, rise with me. Say with me, Father, I surrender my life to you. Help me to continue in your love, continue in your word, continue as your disciple. I thank you for your anointing. It is destroying yokes and removing burdens off of my life. From this day on, by your strength and by your ability, I will live life to the full, glorifying you, worshiping you in spirit and in truth, and keeping your word, even the word of your love. I am your disciple by grace. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. All right. I look forward to seeing you this evening as I go to phase two of this particular word, God willing. But meanwhile, let us honor God with our giving. The word of God says, David in 2 Samuel 24:24, he says, I will not give to God that which costs me nothing. When we give, there is a pinch. It's something that means something to us as individuals. So give to the Lord as you trust him faithfully. May God continue to increase you and I. Hallelujah. Word of God says, neither will I offer burnt offerings unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. Abraham did the same thing when he was being offered property. He says, no, I'm going to buy it. I won't pay for it. What you give and pay for belongs to you. That which costs you something counts before God. Let your giving today count. Let it cause things to begin to percolate for you in every area of life. Hallelujah. All to him my blessed Savior I surrender all. I surrender. Surrender all. Yes, Lord, we surrender all to you. As we come to this table of communion, we are reminded that you surrendered all for us. May we in you surrender all to the glory of the Father. We thank you, Father, for the gift of your love. Help us to continue in your love. We surrender all to you. Let grace abound. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Take of the body of the Lord and eat, and be healed, be fortified, be graced by the goodness of God. Take and eat. In Jesus' name.
So we take of this cup of blessing this morning. Say, Lord Jesus.
Lord Jesus.
I give you my life.
I give you my life.
I give you my spirit.
I give you my spirit.
I give you my soul.
I give you my soul.
I give you my body.
I give you my body.
I give you my substance.
I give you my substance.
Have your way.
Have your way.
In my life.
In my life.
If you believe that, say amen.
Amen.
Take and drink.
We give God praise for the privilege accorded us to be called sons, daughters of the Most High God. I thank you for being here. Celebrate the goodness of God in your lives. Just give us a few more minutes of your time. Be seated. Even though the announcement is not available right now, I'd like you to know that the first Friday of April through the first Sunday of April, we're going to be having special meetings here. That's the weekend of Passover, Good Friday, and Resurrection Sunday. Amen. We're going to have a time in the presence of God. The Lord will meet us here in a powerful way. So do mark those dates on your calendar. And 6:30
p.m.
Yeah, 6:30 p.m. Amen. Praise God. Awesome. I think that's the main announcement that we have. The announcement regarding Mama's sister, you'll have possibly next week, we'll have that announcement available to you. Okay?
That's for the service.
Yeah, that's for the service. All right. Okay. Well, we'll say bye to those who are on Facebook, YouTube, Reddit, and other platforms. We'll look forward to seeing